This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I feel like I have the best job in the world. I am now moving into my 8th year here at Empower Radio, and I'm so, so grateful to our founder, Brent Carey, and to all of my amazing producers, including Nate, who is with me here today. So grateful to be able to share so many inspiring, empowering, right, people that have lived their passions and share their work in ways that are absolutely amazing and enlightening. I feel really honored that every week that I interview somebody, I also am learning something myself. You know, I have said many times over the years that if my work touches only one person, then I'm doing my job well. And sometimes that one person might just be me, and I'm super grateful. So with my guest today, Peggy Ayers, is the author of Ancient Spirit Rising, Reclaiming Your Roots and Restoring Earth Community. She's also the founder of Stone Circle Press, and her work in the world is so in line with my own mission and vision. I believe that Peggy is really all about honoring the ancestors and our own lineage, that we are all connected to this deep lineage and to earth and to all of life. And it's really her passion and mission to bring that insight and wisdom to each and every one of us so that we can maybe create a new dream for the planet, a new future, kind of weaving the past and the future together. So welcome to Soulful Living, Peggy.
Well, thanks for having me, Terry. I'm so happy to be here.
So as I was going through your book, which I absolutely love and have been following you on Facebook and reading some of your blogs, a few things really stood out to me. And I really love that I feel like you are an advocate for the ancestors and an advocate for Earth and how we can bring it all together to really create a new dream.
Yeah, and I think that there is, you know, ancestral knowledge that we've forgotten. You know, we've been so immersed in the Western worldview. But I do think it's, you know, dormant in every person, and we can certainly, you know, recover it, reconstruct it, and relearn those abilities, and, you know, we go to nature directly for this knowledge. But it's also in our own ancestral line, you know, through genealogy and, you know, connecting and talking to our own ancestors. But I think we have to go sort of a pre-colonial time frame, which means, you know, in some cases going back maybe 900 years. But, you know, that is a challenge. But it can be done in today's world. And I think, you know, that's really important. You don't have to go along ethnocultural lines, you know, if you find that difficult. But, you know, connecting with nature, nature is sort of the key to the whole revival of ancestor knowledge, for sure.
I couldn't agree more. And let me just share quickly. My husband has been working on both his and my ancestry and kind of our genealogy.
Wonderful.
And it is. It's beautiful. He went back to the 1100s.
Oh, my God.
I know. Who'd have thought that you could actually gather information from that far back? And he did that on both sides of our families. And some of the information that he retrieved has really been an eye-opener for me. You know, as someone that practices shamanic work, I've really looked to expand my own knowledge base, I guess I would say, and not take one tribe's work and vision to heart as I worked through finding my own path and tracing my own ancestral, you know, lineage in order to honor the ancestors. So I really appreciate your work and how you're bringing awareness to the importance of all of that.
Well, Yeah, and I think what's really exciting is, you know, in Europe, I don't think we really understand that a lot of the pagan values were kept alive. You know, it was very suppressed by the rise of the patriarchal empires and the hierarchies and all these different oppressive forces. But there are so many elements that are still alive, you know, in our homelands, if we're from Europe, because it's sort of embedded in the landscape. So if we happen to, you know, take a pilgrimage, you know, back to places that we originated from, that knowledge is still, you know, deeply embedded in the land. And a lot of the practices are still being done in European places. So it's just a matter of reconnecting with our own. It's like that ping, you know, you just feel a sort of a resonance with some parts of your own heritage. And that can be really, really exciting. And it just propels you to learn more. It's like connecting your genealogy with the historical record. If something happened, you know, 1,200 years ago, you can place that, you know, what was going on in that country at that time and sort of, you know, track your own ancestors back in time and then find sort of a pre-colonial worldview at some point, hopefully, where people were living in a more earth-connected way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in my case, my family came from Ireland and Germany and on one side, and from the other side of the family, many of their roots were here in some of the Native American tribes.
Oh, that's so amazing.
I know. It's really been an incredible blend.
Yes.
And, you know, as I had said earlier,
old world, new world.
It is. It's been really cool. And the more that I learn, the more I find, oh, okay, so maybe that's why I'm attracted to this element or that element and why I don't really appreciate that practice in this culture, you know. So it's really been a path of, you know, from a shamanic perspective, connecting with the elements that maybe my tribe's connected with from a long time ago.
Exactly, and I think that whole, well, science is sort of substantiating that we have these, you know, DNA memories. It's called epigenetics. It's really worth,
right,
you know, exploring, but we certainly carry deep, deep soul memories. And apparently things that happened to our ancestors even, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 years ago is still sort of imprinted, you know, deep, deep within our DNA in some, you know, places. And we can revive that through visions or like intuitions, like you were saying, through dream archaeology when you, you know, have an intention when you fall asleep to meet a certain ancestor. So there's so many exciting practices, and we really, you know, carry a lot of this, you know, inside, deep inside. So it's just a way of activating, learning how to activate it again.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's really been fun, and I hope that the listeners, you know, as you move through your own work, that you can maybe take the good that comes with your ancestral memories, not dismissing what perceived as negative or bad, you know, they're there, they happened, definitely not dismissing them, but focusing more on the good things that were there and how you can implement that and bring that into your future. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say we do carry some of the trauma, and I think there's some wonderful practices. There's some a modality called constellation work. So it means clearing out these traumas, because so many times in our ancestors' history, you know, there was war and displacement, you know, even genocide. And you know, immigration is a terrible wrenching away from the homeland. So, well, certainly we can't downplay that there was a lot of negativity that happened. And people were, running from various oppressive situations. So all of that trauma is still carried too, but there's ways to clear that. And as you're doing that work, you're also healing your ancestors themselves through wonderful processes. So it's just really positive in the end.
Mm, oh boy, that gave me goosebumps from head to toe.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners.
They're listening and they're a part of our lives. And it's a way to heal all of us, our whole family line, to try to heal everyone.
And our community, you know, I look at it as I am healing and I'm I'm healing, you know, my ancestors and my, you know, current family. We're healing our communities because we are honoring that piece of us that has been carried forward through so many generations. Listeners, I'm chatting with Peggy Ayers. We're going to talk about your book right now, Ancient Spirit Rising. Let's give the listeners a little bit of a background on it. It is in two different parts, part one, part two. Each of them has a different perspective and focus. So let's talk about that a little bit here.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's almost like I should have published two books because the book is very dense and it's 420 pages, so it could have easily have been two books. But I did think that the first section, which is about social justice and the realities of our, you know, situation here on Turtle Island, you know, cultural appropriation of First Nations, and how we can be doing better in terms of intercultural competency with First Nations. And my whole, impetus for writing the book came from knowing so many First Nations people here in Southern Ontario, Canada, and hearing stories, and while no one's talking about this, and you know, this is an issue that needs to be talked about. So we're all on this kind of learning journey. And then the second half of the book is kind of like the solutions to the problems that I set out. And that's where it's a lot more connective to the land and different practices, rewilding, eco-psychology. I cover so many different ways of re-immersing ourselves in Earth community, and how do we do that as non-Native people if we don't have a heritage here on Turtle Island? We're not connected to First Nations community. There are definitely ways that we can also sort of re-indigenize or, you know, find that ancestral connectivity to the land. And I just wanted to write about that, and I just found so many amazing. I learned quite a lot during the writing of the book, so I've just found so many amazing modalities and practices and ways to do that. So there's really no excuse for not doing the work, right?
Right.
Yeah, get out there and do it.
Well, you talk about, really how different the emergence of this holistic thinking from today, right?
Yes.
And that we want to return to balance. And do you think that return to balance is really connecting and honoring the earth and the ancestors and incorporating practices into our own life?
Oh, yes, definitely. And we are faced with, you know, the challenge. We've been so part of the Western worldview, you know, like sorting things into categories and all these ways that we have been thinking that we sort of need to decolonize. We've been taught to divide and conquer. And so all these things are sort of internalized. But Indigenous societies provide, you know, amazing models on how to turn that around, you know, turn that conditioning around. Through care that of Earth community, we have a responsibility to care for the land. So we can really look to Indigenous societies, not on the practices, but we can certainly learn from Indigenous peoples as they model to us, you know, the good ways that we can be connecting with the earth.
Well, and it goes beyond New Age. You know, I remember being in a workshop one time and somebody said something about this New Agey BS. Oh. And she was looking at me and I said, I don't consider myself New Agey by any means. You know, I consider myself somebody that is deeply connected and even more honoring of my ancestors and how to bring that forward to heal not just my life, but my community and the earth. And I think that the work of Ancient Spirit Rising captures that essence. It's not New Age.
Well, right. And I took a serious look at New Age because I had, you know, over the years, if we're spiritual people, that's kind of been the world we've been immersed in, you know, the marketplace. And I had so many, I guess, the New Age genre, you know, I worked with tarot cards and a lot of the material in New Age spirituality is very helpful and
right.
very healing. But I just think the point that there's just so much choice in the end is not such a positive thing, because you really have to focus on certain modalities to kind of get good at something. You can't be jumping around. So
right.
And there's a lot of consumerism built into New Age spirituality. So I found a lot of problems and some delusional thinking. So I actually covered that in my book. I critiqued New Age, which I think is quite a trend. Like, I'm not the only one that has sort of found these strange behaviors and so on in the New Age community. But it's a good thing to use your critical thinking skills, I think, and to look at this delusional thinking and not get caught up in it, you know?
Cultural appropriation
for sure is a really identifiable syndrome. You can, you know, clearly see people. They just don't know who they are, so they're taking
right.
on another identity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see that in many of my clients, you know, that they're really struggling and searching for something and wondering, you know, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? You know, I study a lot of different things myself. And I know for me, my roots are shamanic, you know, that's it. It's who I am. I study the other cultures to see how this affects my, other modalities, you know, how is this working for my client? What is that? What's the connection here? You know, blah, blah, blah. Not so much that, that I'm searching for anything else, more of research, I guess, and knowledge.
Yeah, and I think we don't have that community in place. We don't have elders teaching us. So we have to turn to, you know, workshops and books. And I think they function as like opening the door to our own, you know, intuitive authenticity. So it's like a portal that opens and you think, oh, I already have that knowledge inside of me. But,
right.
you know, how do you open the door to it unless you have some, you know, mechanism through, you know, a workshop or a book that helps you to do that? So there's something really positive in all of this learning, that's for sure.
Okay, so one of the words that came up in your book was animist, and I have my own kind of definition of what I believe an animist is, but I'd like to hear from you, you know, what are some of the differences between that Western thinking, ancestral or animist thinking, and what is animist in your world?
Yeah, I think it's a total shift in the thinking. So an animist feels like they're a part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're more connected and empathic. And of course, you have to get yourself out into nature. You have to spend time. And a whole shift happens, you know, the minute you get away from human infrastructure and you're out in the woods or the forest or whatever. So for me, I just become more grounded. You know, I'm feeling more of I'm in my body more. The whole sense of time changes. It becomes more spiral, and the linear time just falls away, like hours and hours can pass, but you're not really concerned about charting of time.
Right.
You sort of enter what I call indigenous mind, and this is animist societies for thousands of years. We can all still enter this animist space. You know, it's nonverbal. We're kind of starting to, you can even communicate without speaking. Things like that have happened to me when I've been out in nature. We're non-dualistic. You know, this kind of thinking is very holistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's more of an experiencing, like in your learning. You're not learning from the linear side, the rational side. You're learning through direct experience, through your senses, whether you're, you know, hearing, seeing, tasting, or smelling. All of these things are, you know, ancient ways that humans have interacted with nature throughout time. And it all just rushes back in. You know, I can spend 20 minutes in nature and I'm completely shifted into the animist mind again. So it's always present. It's just, we have to get out and spend time, and then we feel this wonder, you know, this sense of awe. And then, you know, take those experiences and then you go back to the everyday world and they sort of become integrated. So it never quite leaves you. You know, I have like experiences that are still affecting my personal mythology that maybe happened 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of magical things that happen too in nature. I've had so many experiences that have so much meaning. I couldn't even explain some of them in this short amount of time, but very magical. I'm sure you've had things like that happen in nature too, where it's, some sort of thing happens and you just are in complete awe, you know, whether it's an animal or something on the ground or something will happen that just completely connects with your own personal experience, right?
Absolutely, on a daily basis. You know,
yeah.
I tell
exactly.
People the best thing you can do for yourself is get outside. You said 20 minutes, and that's kind of like my key for people. I tell people,
yeah.
Get outside for 20 minutes.
It doesn't take long.
You know, just get, yes.
Yeah.
And if you live in the inner city, just stand and look at a tree. You know, find some element of nature. And realize even that the ground that you're walking on is from nature, you know, so just allow yourself and look at the birds above you. You know, before we came on, I mentioned that my husband and I are going on a journey tomorrow to find the snowy owl that's in about 2 hours from us. I mean, get out in nature. It changes you, right? It changes you. If you're feeling down, get outside. Right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many treasures. I mean, there's this whole trend to travel to, you know, Machu Picchu or we have to go to some exotic location, but it's just incredible what treasures are just in your own, you know, place, like within a 50-mile radius of where you live, you're going to find the most astounding things. And I think that's where bioregionalism comes in, and that's going to be really important in the future, too.
Mm-hmm.
If we sort of do end up with economic collapse or environmental collapse, you're going to really be relying on, you know, the ecosystems in your own backyard. And they're just full of incredible, you know, treasures in terms of what we need to survive and what we need, you know, emotionally, spiritually, on all the levels. It's just, you know, we're just living right in beautiful places. We just sometimes don't realize it. Go jump on a plane.
You know? Yeah. One of my clients is from Northern Michigan and she lives in another state right now, but she was visiting and she's like, how can I stay connected? I'm like, okay, so when you go to Northern Michigan, take a rock, take a little piece of sand, you know, thank this gift for being with you on your journey so that when you get home, you can reconnect to that no matter what you're feeling. You can reconnect to your ancestors and to the earth and the place that you love so much. My husband and I went to the Porcupine Mountains, which are in Northern Michigan. We live in Michigan.
Beautiful.
And first of all, he didn't even know there was Porcupine Mountains, any type of mountain range in Michigan. And we got there, we got to the top of this one mountain and we saw a deer and there was like a hawk flying around. And he looks over at me and I'm sobbing and he goes, what? And I'm like, I feel like I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at this. Isn't this the most incredible thing? And we've traveled everywhere. And yet that's
like your
how
ancestral soul was kicking in. It's just that thing I was speaking of.
Yes, it was absolutely incredible. And I'm sure that you feel that in the environment that you're in. You know, you're in a very beautiful space. And I'm sure that you feel that many times, that just how blessed and beautiful it is to witness that.
And now our dilemma becomes, well, now we have to actually go into the cities. And, you know, I do a lot of talks and conferences and so on. And I have to take like stones from home and then I sit them in the hotel room. I have to make a little altar with some sand and leaves. And
right.
I'm so connected to the earth wherever I go because it becomes really difficult to be in urban spaces. I'm finding more and more, but you know, I still have to do it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do the same thing. You know, when my husband and I travel outside of our home, we always take something with us that helps us feel connected. And, you know, we live in a suburban community, but we've created this, you know, oasis in our backyard. And then within that 50, 60 mile radius, we try to get out as often as we possibly can. And it's really important for anyone to really feel that natural element and allow that energy to really seep into your soul. Okay, so Peggy, we're down to the wire.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, wonderful to talk to you. Just to find all the local animals and trees and name the plants in your own area. Go on a bio blitz.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. A bio blitz, you know. So, listeners, again, I was chatting with Peggy Ayers. You can find all of her information here on the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio. I know time goes by so fast, but I'm so glad we had this conversation and were able to share so much insight. And that was just a minimal amount. Like, I feel like you'd have to come on once a month for us to really dig deep into what's happening. But I love what you just said. What a beautiful way to leave the listeners with that thought to elevate their soul. What did you call it? A nature blitz?
Yeah, bio blitz.
Bio blitz.
You know,
yeah, I love that.
Where is the rivers? You know, where are the little hills and all the different landforms? It's just, there's so much beauty around us.
Yeah, there really is. Thank you so much for being here with me, Peggy. I offer you a deep bow and tremendous gratitude.
Well, thank you, Terry. It was really, really great talking with you. Have a wonderful day, and thanks again.